Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Hey guys, on the monorail. Can't wait to get to the park.
What is that smell, guys? You smell?
Nah, I showered today. It's not me.
You know, I smell something that's not part of, you know, that Disney essence. It's not Minnie Mouse's perfume. I'm smelling something else.
Yeah, Remy, well, it's been me and Alex this whole time. When you came, that's when the smell started.
Thanks a lot, guys. Where are we going?
Away from you.
Whoa, is that my buddy walking by Washi?
Welcome to episode 250 of the Diz His Podcast. I'm your host, Alex.
And I'm Chris.
Today, we're recording live for our Groove Troop. Visit our social media, Diz His Pod, on Twitter and Instagram. From there, you can get to our social media, and you can also get to all of our stuff. Our link tree is there. Give us all the information you need. TeePublic for merchandise. Patreon as well. Join our Groove Troop, because every week we record live for our Groove Troop. So you can join that for as little as $2 a month. But if you do join for more than $2, you're then entered in our giveaways, which we do every couple months. And we should have one coming up here soon because we haven't done one in a bit. So get ready for that.
If you want to contact us, please send us an email at dizhispod@gmail.com. And if you haven't done so already, please give us a review on, not Google Podcasts anymore because they're gone, but you can give us a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Four. We strive for four or above.
We strive for four. That should be a shirt. Diz His. We strive for four. We have a guest today. If you are a fan of Diz His, if you happen to be a fan of Diz His and no new friends, you know him as the Pod Father. We have Remy himself here to help us with the episode. How you doing, Remy?
Good, man. I just want to say it's Lord Remy on the No New Friends podcast. That is Lord Remy, okay? Let's get that name right. Lord Remy.
It's not the Podfather anymore.
Chris calls me the Podfather. I mean, I do. Scott calls me Podfather every once in a while, but No New Friends is Lord Remy. Okay.
Wow. Move the camera back a little, Remy. Your head just won't fit on the screen.
Well, before we get started, if you listen to the last few episodes, you know we have a new thing called Quick Questions. So we're going to ask you some quick questions, Remy. Maybe you have the answers already. Let's go. What is your favorite park?
It's been a toss-up lately between Hollywood Studios and Epcot.
So okay.
I'm actually going to say my favorite Disney theme park is, you know what, I'm sticking with Epcot.
Okay. It was nice having you. Peace out. Most recent Disney movie watched.
So I actually watched it a couple of nights ago. I watched, it was a Disney rom-com. It was a movie that you guys would like to do a history on it.
Okay.
It actually featured one of my favorite chefs, Mr. Bobby Flay, Eddie's Million Dollar Cook-Off.
I love that movie.
Alex likes that movie. That's a Disney Channel original movie, right?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is. Oh, wow. Nice. Favorite Disney villain?
Hades.
Okay. Okay. Favorite princess?
You know what? I'm going to say, I know she's not a princess, but she could be considered as a princess, Esmeralda.
Okay, I guess I'll let that one slide. But best Toy Story.
But
what? You got a backup?
I got a backup. Aurora, Sleeping Beauty.
Aurora. Okay. Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I feel like she's the worst.
Oh, no, dude. She's kind of feisty, you know. But
when she's
awake, I dig it.
Best Toy Story movie.
Classic Toy Story 1.
Toy Story 1. Nice. Very nice.
The reason why behind that.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just love the old school graphics on Pixar, like how they first created Toy Story. It just brings out that nasty, nostalgic 90s, you know, graphics.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
You can tell when they started upgrading in 2, 3, and 4, you're like, okay, Disney, okay, Pixar, you guys are stepping up your high definition game. Let's go.
But they can't make it too good because they have to still, you know, be connected to the number one, right?
Right. Absolutely, man. Absolutely.
Okay, Remy. So are you ready to talk about Minnie Mouse?
Well, what I want to do is, first and foremost, I want to say congratulations to you guys on your 250th episode. This is
Thank you.
Huge. This is a huge
thanks, Remy.
Landmark for you guys. 250 episodes. So, Chris and Alex, how do you guys feel?
I feel, it almost doesn't feel real to me.
I feel like I've learned a lot, but I've also forgot a lot.
Yeah, that's what happens when you reach your first like 200th episode. You're like, how many episodes have I done so far? Hold on. Yeah, I don't remember any of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Remy, so we really wanted to bring you on for this monumental episode because you're a big part of the show. Behind the scenes, you were, the whole Diz journey connection. So, I guess what I have to ask you is, so this is obviously on Minnie Mouse, and it's a very special episode. Like you said, it's a huge landmark episode at 250. So I just wanted to get your feelings on how big of an accomplishment this is and tie that into your like how important Minnie Mouse is to the Walt Disney Company.
Minnie Mouse is.
It doesn't matter how you feel, Remy, because this is episode 249.5, April Fools.
Hey.
Welcome to
History is Universal. Whoa. This is our History is Universal episode, and today we're giving the his on E.T. Adventure, a Universal Studios attraction. So all you that are excited about Minnie Mouse, sorry, that is our next week's episode. We're actually going to go live on YouTube for that episode as well. So get ready for next week. Actual episode 250, Minnie Mouse, is on its way. E.T. Adventure is a dark ride based on Steven Spielberg's E.T. the Extraterrestrial. The dark ride, which suspends guests over different scenes from the movie, was opened at Universal Studios Florida, along with the park on June 7th, 1990. How do you feel about that, Remy?
Bye bye.
What? I thought you loved Universal.
Dude, let me tell you, I used to work at ET, okay? I used to work at that attraction. Good God. Okay, so ET is one of the heart and soul of Universal. It's an open day attraction. So you gotta think about it. I mean, back then you had ET, you had How She Killed Murder She Wrote, you had the Ghostbusters stage show. You had Hanna-Barbera, so you had the Miami Vice boat show. You had the Wild Wild West show, Jaws, which broke down like nonstop over there.
Yeah,
Back to the Future, and then you had Barney and Friends, which you still had the original Kids Zone area, which was Fievel and Barney. Those were the only two attractions that were still over there, during the opening of Universal, and of course, yeah, the Bates Motel over by the back area of Universal. So, E.T. is it's one of the main attractions at Universal, and people love to go on it and give out these weird names to E.T. to pronounce on the attraction.
Yeah,
that is the best. Now, fun fact: when I came down a couple of Aprils ago, now. We went to Universal for the day. Remy was with us. And E.T. was the first attraction we rode. And I was so excited because the last time I visited Universal, that attraction was closed for refurbishment. Yeah. And E.T. is hands down one of my favorite attractions ever. I love the movie. And I'm a sucker for dark rides. I'm a sucker for those corny just animatronics. And this one does it best.
And what's weird about this attraction is that the same manufacturer who did this, who created the E.T. attraction,
Steven Spielberg.
Well, no, I'm saying the ride manufacturer is actually the same the ride manufacturer who did Peter Pan's Flight.
That makes sense.
That is the same company who helped build, well, not build, but who actually helped Peter Pan's Flight.
Makes sense. So, makes sense.
Definitely the best comparison. Yeah. But we don't talk about that other part in this podcast.
Well, I've actually never been on E.T. myself. Never
Are you
wrote
serious?
It. Only information I know is from the history I'm about to read, or Chris about to read today, because I'm a little sick, and so I can't wait to learn more about E.T.
E.T. phone home.
Say it.
The first Universal Studios opened way back in 1915 and started giving people tours until the early 30s, when the tours ended due to the sound stages becoming too loud. Eventually, in 1962, Music Corporation of America took over Universal Pictures and a new tour was put into place in order to increase profits. In 1965, the first attraction in the park, Warlord Tower, debuted and the petting zoo was expanded to have over 200 animals. In 1968, the Screen Actors Guild enacted a rule to prohibit visitors from most sound stages, which shut down the backlot tram tour. But eventually, president of the Recreation Division, Jay Stein, had the idea to create an exciting experience for visitors that was similar to the actual tram tour. The first was a flood set in order for guests to experience what a movie set may simulate for a movie. Other attractions at the park opened, like the Parting of the Red Sea attraction, which premiered in 1973. For the next 15 years, a multitude of exciting attractions were added to the park, as well as events added to the studio tour. Many of these attractions were developed in close collaboration with directors, producers, and actors from the movies the attractions or events were based on. When Universal Studios was being developed for Orlando, Florida, they decided to create an attraction based on the Jaws event that was a fan favorite on the Universal Studios backlot tour in Hollywood. Universal Studios brought Spielberg on as an official creative consultant so he could help make sure the attraction was as close to the film as possible. As the 80s were coming to a close, Spielberg's E.T., The Extraterrestrial, was on pace to finish the decade as the highest gross film of the 80s, so it was easy for Universal Studios to greenlight the creation of an E.T. ride. And with Spielberg officially on board as a consultant, the ride was destined to be amazing. Universal Vice President and Executive Producer Peter Alexander worked closely with Spielberg to create the new dark ride attraction that was going to premiere at Universal Studios Florida. Alexander said it was hard to take an emotional two-hour movie and attempt to translate it into an eight-minute attraction. The Universal team suggested to Spielberg that they could take the chase scene from the film and expand it to E.T., somehow transporting back to his homeworld, the Green Planet. Spielberg liked the idea as long as the Green Planet was portrayed as a friendly place. The characteristics of the planet were taken from the 1985 sequel novel written by William Cockswinkle, titled E.T., The Book of the Green Planet.
I've never heard of this novel. Also, honestly, didn't know very much about this history before I started doing research. Chris, did you know much about this information?
No, actually, I didn't. The only thing I knew about was how Universal liked to bring in people that had to do with the movies to be able to consult on the attractions, which I think is a really, really cool touch that they
use. Well, yeah. I mean, what's cool about, you know, bringing in, you know, Spielberg, they also brought in, what's her name? Drew Barrymore. She was able to come to Florida and actually ride it for the first time and get her stamp of approval of the attraction as well. So that's cool. So Spielberg invited the entire cast of E.T. and they all went on the attraction, but Drew Barrymore had a heartfelt of that attraction when she first rode it for the first time. So that's like,
that's really neat.
I mean, I was like, so because in that queue, Chris, you saw like those the TVs that were, so you'll see like the behind the scenes of E.T., like how was the movie was made and stuff. And Drew Barrymore was actually right there. So it was, yeah.
Wow, that's really cool. So really interesting. Did either one of you know that the first Universal Studios opened back in 1915?
No, not
the theme park.
I knew the actual studio where they made the movies.
Right,
I knew it was
They were giving tours. So it's kind of cool that giving tours of the studio. They noticed. Oh, people kind of like this stuff.
They like the movies, eh?
Yay.
Was there movies in 1915?
I mean, they were kind of crappy looking, but they started making like crappy movies in 1915. So, but
are you April Fooling me? Is that
no, dude? Like some of the movies back in 1915 were really bad.
Probably black and white, no audio, kind of stuff.
Yeah, definitely. They weren't. They definitely did not have audio.
The best black and white film was actually made at Universal, and that was Charlie Chaplin. That was his movie was all black and white and dead silent, so with no audio.
Universal's first full length feature film, Traffic in Souls, 1913.
Yep. There it is.
Very interesting.
Traffic in Souls reminds me of I-4. So that's what it reminds me of.
Yeah, really.
Really, this is interesting too. Universal Studios' first Academy Award for Best Picture was for All Quiet on the Western Front. I wonder if the new one was a remake.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, that's interesting. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
So love how Universal, just from the inception of the company, close to the inception of the company, just realized that there was an interest in people being fascinated about how movies were made.
Yeah.
And that kind of birthed the idea, the eventual idea of what we have today. And what we had really back when it opened in Orlando, the whole ride the movies mantra. I like that. That was their slogan, ride the movies.
Yeah.
It's a shame that places like especially Hollywood Studios is straying away from that, because Hollywood Studios is very much like Universal in the sense where you used to be able to ride the movies. Mm-hmm. Now it's turning into more of just a I don't know. I don't even know what to call it. I wouldn't even know what to describe Hollywood Studios to anybody in 2024.
It's mosh posh, that's for sure.
Yeah, but Universal has pretty much stuck true to the behind the scenes type stuff, whether it's TV shows or movies. Have you guys ever watched a POV video of the backlot tour in Hollywood?
Yeah, I have.
The tram tour or the yes. one that's the one from Universal Studios or the one from MGM Studios?
Universal in Hollywood.
Yeah, I mean, it's a long, long, long tour, but it's cool that they actually go behind, you know, the live sound stages, part of that attraction. And
see, I like the Bates Motel scene.
Oh, dude, I like the back to when they are touring behind Back to the Future a lot.
Oh, I guess I didn't watch the whole tour. But I just see a lot of the Bates Motel and Jaws scenes a lot, maybe on TikTok or Instagram or whatever. But wish they still had something like that at MGM or now Hollywood Studios. That was super fun being able to do the backlot tour at MGM when it was still around.
In that flood scene too. That was pretty, flood pretty cool. Scene. Yeah.
Yeah. That was always one that I absolutely loved.
And it's that's a cool one.
And they still have their earthquake scene part of the tour, but Universal Studios, we don't have it. It's gone. Now it's a Fast and Furious Supercharge, which nobody likes. So I mean, dude, like when I saw that video and I see earthquake, I'm like, man, if only we had earthquake in here in Florida. Well, we did until you guys change it to an attraction that nobody likes. So bring back the nostalgic back to Universal. That's what we miss.
Well, if you want it, you can ride ET, because that's not going anywhere.
Yeah, it's not. It's a handprint to Universal.
So absolutely.
It's not going anywhere.
Steven Spielberg won't allow it, but we'll get into that later in the history.
The building that houses ET Adventures is themed to look like a soundstage and is located in Woody Woodpecker's Kids Zone. The outside line cue is themed to replicate a soundstage where ET is being filmed. The TV monitors throughout the queue display ET-themed trivia along with clips of crew members discussing their experience on set. You first enter a small room where TV screens start displaying Steven Spielberg telling the guests that ET has been asked to return to his home planet, which is called simply the Green Planet. ET is wanted back in order to stop the planet from dying. Spielberg tells guests that they will be using a bike to transport ET, and right before they enter, each guest gives a ride attendant their name, so it can be put into a computer. Universal worked with Burkett Engineering to design the ET animatronic that would sit by the end of the ride saying bye to the guests by name. The animatronic had 20,000 names in its database. Doors automatically open, allowing guests to move onto the interior queue. The inside transports you to a dark forest with the smell of pine in the air. An animatronic of Botanicus, an Asojan just like ET, pleads to the guests that ET must return home to help. Throughout the line queue, while in the forest setting, you can spot ET's glowing heart moving through the trees. As guests move further through the queue, they pass little scenes like ET's communication device that he created during the movie, and then eventually to the loading platform to board the ride vehicle. Each seat is a bicycle seat with bike handles that come down as the lap bars. The ride vehicle is made up of four bikes with three rows, and between the front middle bikes is a basket that holds an ET animatronic. In the earlier days of the attraction, guests did have an option to ride in the spaceship modeled ride vehicle instead, but were removed due to the lack of guests who wanted to use them. Guests would pass by NASA and police officers who are trying to catch E.T. A police car cuts off the guests, but E.T. helps the bikes fly over it. Guests then fly over the city and then out to outer space until they are transported to the green planet. Guests move through the brightly colored world, which is populated with over 200 animatronics. Sally Corporation assisted Universal with the designing and manufacturing of the animatronics. Universal designers did underwater plant research in order to design the different fauna that inhabited the planet. Guests eventually come across E.T., who thanks them by name for helping, and then abruptly transported back to Earth to exit the ride. E.T. Adventure debuted along with Universal Studios Florida on June 7th, 1990.
You know, so going through this, hopefully you guys don't mind, I did a description of the ride itself. Haven't done one of these in a while. Thought it was good since it's mainly a Disney podcast, and maybe some of our people listening haven't been to Universal
or absolutely. E.T.
ride like myself. So it actually helped myself ride the, you know, go on YouTube and watch a ride through. But I found this ride, when you said that it was built by the same people who made the Peter Pan ride in Magic Kingdom, that makes a lot of sense because it's very similar where it's hanging you from the top and you're hanging and going over stuff. I don't know if – I feel like if I was a little kid, the bikes would scare me, I think, because it seems like very like not secure.
I mean, it did scare me when I first went on it for the first time. So like I didn't know what to expect. But my dad had a little break, and he's like, "Hey, let's go on E.T. for a little bit." I'm like, "Okay." So we're on E.T. And I was actually scared to go on those bikes, Alex. I was. So
okay.
But dad's like, "Hold on to the handlebars. You'll be just fine." And I'm like, "Okay." So it was a really weird experience on that ride, man.
This is a one of my favorite ride vehicles in all of the parks, I think.
Oh yeah.
You just really? You remember it because that openness of the ride vehicle.
Yeah.
If you love the movie E.T. like myself, you feel like you're in the movie. You have E.T. right in front of you. I'm glad you did a description of this ride, Alex, because people who don't know what it is, it's a really good description. But I strongly encourage you to watch a ride-along video on YouTube. Very magical, magical feeling ride. And the video doesn't do it justice to be able to go there and smell the smells and the cop car, terrifying, right, Remy, when the cop car comes?
No, what's terrifying is people notice that smell, and that's actually the worst smell of all in that freaking building. And that's actually mildew or mold or something. So that's like the worst smell in that building, man.
So I have heard that the iconic E.T. ride smell, not the pine, but the
building smell.
This building smell is indeed must and mold and mildew.
Is it? I mean, it's Florida, baby.
And it was recently clean, like in the past year, like deep clean, and the smell went away, and everyone was angry
because they're upset.
People were actually standing out front of the attraction. They're saying, "Bring the smell back! Bring the smell back!"
Oh my gosh!
And people online were like, "Yeah, you know, it's great you missed the smell for 8 minutes, but what about the people who have to work there and have to breathe in all of this during their whole shift?"
Dude,
I guess you'd go nose blind, huh?
Dude, that smell was the worst for the team members who worked at E.T. And when I was a ride operator, I would just stay in the computer area and just type in all the names for the guests. And when my shift was over, I was able to go on the attraction, but when you first walk in that queue line, boom, that smell kicks you right in the face. And you're like, "Yep, this brings back so many memories." Yeah, no, I don't miss it. I do not miss that smell. I don't. So it was just, yeah. But I got a little fun fact I want to ask you guys. How tall is the animatronic E.T. featured in the ride? How tall is that animatronic?
I'd say.
How tall are you, Chris?
I'm 5'6".
I'd say 4'11".
4'11" for Alex.
I'd say 6 feet.
That's a tall E.T., man.
I forget how far it is. E.T.
That's true. If it's far away, they have to run to be able to see it. Yeah, I feel
like
it
was like big. How big is it, Remy?
So the animatronic is actually 3 feet tall.
Oh, wow. Way off. Okay.
Cut that in half, Chris.
Yeah. That's what I meant. I, you know, It's April Fool's. April Fool's, guys. I was joking. Have you ever given it a funny name, Remy?
I have. It actually brought, I chose the longest name in the computer.
Oh, computer what is the longest name?
Wakabawachi.
See, that would be my biggest fear, is working the names and spelling people's names wrong all day. I'd be like, I'd be so worried about spelling people's names wrong constantly.
So, Alex, what we did was, if they did not give us a proper name, or, you know, let's say somebody's from like a different country and we don't understand their name, so we'll put like Bob, Frank, Joe, just to make it easier on them, because it would not pop up in our system like at all. So, and plus, back then, Universal's computer system for that attraction, they were running on a Windows 98 still. We had the big fat screens, and we had to go, okay, what's your name? Boom, boom. Okay, what's your name? Boom, boom, boom. What's your name? Okay, got it. So that was like one of the most hardest part, is just typing in the names. So they say their name like completely fast. We're like, whoa, slow down. What's your name? Okay, your name's somebody. Okay, your name's Bob. Here you go. So, but I remember one. What was it? When I was a guest, I went with a couple of buddies of mine. We played a bad trick on the computer guy. So we all did the names from Super Mario Brothers. Like my buddy was Mario, I was Luigi, my friend was Peach. We put Ghost, and my other friend was Toad. So and it all worked out perfect.
That's amazing. So
those aren't even names. Why are they in the database system?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
It's in the database. Like, it's still in the database system.
The name that you brought up, what was that name, Remy? The long one?
Wakabawachi.
Now, is that like an Easter egg that only employees know?
That is one of the Easter eggs.
Unless your name is Wakabawachi. Yeah. And then you're like, oh, they have my name.
What is that name? Where's it from?
So it wasn't really from anybody. A couple old team members and people who was part of the ET attraction were like, okay, we got to think of a long ass name for, you know, for this attraction. Okay, Wakabawachi.
So that's,
there's no meaning behind it. It's just somebody It's somebody who just came up with that name. I'm like, wow, okay. And plus, that was actually on the test that we had, like all the team members had to take before they can get signed off. And the last question was, what is the longest name on the computer system? Wakabawachi. Wow.
That's wow. So cool. I wonder if they ever had updates. They brought like a floppy disk in with the new names of the year or whatever.
Yeah, they had to add in names like Ryder, Archer,
Asher,
River.
I mean, I'm sure they've already upgraded their computer system at that attraction, so they can add, you know, broader names for these guys who visit Universal.
LaDasha.
Well, they didn't update much else.
Well, we'll get to that later.
You say LaDasha?
Yeah.
I mean, some people, like, you know, there was one time where someone put in a dirty name in and we couldn't play it like at all because it wouldn't pop up, but somehow it did work. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. How did that work? So,
and if you're hearing this and want to know what that dirty name is, it's going to be cut from the episode, but Remy's going to tell us. So if you want to hear that, you can become a Patreon member. You'll be able to get all our cutting room floor.
My question is was Dick in the computer system?
That was one of them.
Yeah. It's got to be.
That was one of them. I mean, we had the A word.
Autism?
No. So we had the A word, the B word, the C word in our system. And then we had the F word. But that word was translated to the Chinese, Japanese version of that name, instead of a P. We were all shocked when we found it in the system. We're like, that name should not be in there.
Universal Studios Hollywood would get their own version of the attraction a year later, on June 12, 1991. This iteration was a copy of Orlando's attraction. Despite this attraction's longevity, it has received surprisingly little changes. Its only significant change came to its pre-show. The original pre-show involved E.T.'s director, Steven Spielberg, discussing his plans to make a sequel to E.T. and stating that he wanted the guests to be extras. But after guests were confused the lack of film equipment anywhere in the queue or ride, this video was changed to its current version to celebrate the film's 20th anniversary in 2002. A third version of the ride would open in Universal Studios Japan around this time, in 2001. However, as the odds droned on, guests' enthusiasm for the attraction fell. The attraction began to appear old and outdated, even in the new Japanese version. On March 14, 2003, Universal Studios Hollywood slaughtered their version of the attraction and replaced it with The Revenge of the Mummy, The Ride. Japan's take on E.T. would also fall victim to changing consumer interests, and the alien was retired after only 8 years in the park on May 10, 2009. It would be replaced by Space Fantasy, The Ride. Despite plans for a version to open at Universal Studios South Korea in 2021, the entire park was scrapped following the COVID-19 pandemic. And then there was one. The original Orlando version was once again the only one that remained. It received new track switches from Dynamic Structures in 2012, but has otherwise received little technological upgrades. The land around it has changed from the Expo Center in 1990 to Woody Woodpecker's Kid Zone in 1999, to Hollywood in 2024. But throughout all these changes, the attraction has remained a mainstay. Universal Studios did announce in late March of 2024 that they will be closing down E.T. Adventure from May 5th to May 16th for refurbishment. Many speculated this could be temporary closure that turns permanent, but it is reported that Spielberg will refuse to work with Universal ever again if they close his beloved E.T. attraction.
So they're not really going to close it. It's just for refurbishment. That's all it is.
Are you sure?
So there was this horrible clickbait title. I respected it on X, and it said E.T. Adventure is closing. I was like, wow, that's crazy. And then it said, it was like breaking news. E.T. Adventure is closing. And so I clicked it, and it said, from May 5th to May 16th.
Oh my God.
Gotcha.
I replied as I said, well
Adam.
Done.
Well played, sir. Well played.
Well played, Universal. Well,
you know,
played.
There's plenty of attractions we've done history in the past, and it closed, quote unquote, temporarily and never opened again.
That's true.
But I think with Spielberg holding it over their head that he will refuse, if it is true, that he told them, I will not work with you again if you close this, I think they'll keep it open. Also because people like you will love the ride and will continue riding it. I don't know, like, Remy, is it a long wait for the ride still, or is it quick to get on?
Dude, it is super quick to get on. I mean, usually E.T. is usually a walk-on inside the park. No, I'm saying it's a 5-minute wait. What do you mean it's not good? It's a 5-minute wait.
That's not good for the consumer. It's not good for the company. Peter Pan is a 45-minute wait, and it's the same kind of ride.
Yeah, but E.T. is longer than Peter Pan.
Yeah, but I think that's not good for the company. So if they want to close it, they have the data that would show them, like, this ride isn't as popular as it used to be.
Right. I mean, my co-host, Mark McKay, he used to work at Universal. And he's like, if I ever become, you know, some big boss and creative at Universal, I am tearing down E.T. Wow. I'm like, what? I'm like, dude, do you know how many people would hate you if you tore down that attraction?
Yeah, it'd go up there.
We didn't talk about this at all, but you know what I like just as much as the attraction is the gift shop.
Yeah, all the candy, all the plushies of E.T.
So there is
Reese's Pieces.
I bought a candy bar there. Yeah, I bought an E.T. candy bar, and I kept the wrapper, and I brought it home, and I cut out cardboard, and I wrapped tin foil around the cardboard to make it look like I didn't eat the candy bar. But the candy bar is a chocolate bar with Reese's Pieces in it, which was really cool. But I always buy something at that gift shop. When I went down with you, Remy, I bought a pin. And I bought that cool retro Universal neon hat that I should have worn tonight. But
yeah, really. Oh, would have tipped our hand.
It would have. Yeah. Yeah. So but the gift shop is so fun. Do they still have that photo op there, Remy?
They do. They still have it there.
I think you're on the bike, correct? Oh, and then there's one in the closet, too.
Yep.
With when E.T.'s disguised as a doll.
Oh yeah.
God, they are so scary looking.
But there's a lot of E.T. merch, whether it's plushes or shirts or pins. Like, they fill up a whole gift shop.
You know, I really do hope they don't close this ride down, because my kids love E.T. Surprisingly, they love it. We've watched the movie like a handful of times in the past couple of years, and my daughter loves E.T. and my son likes it too. And we plan on going, we plan on switching our Disney passes for Universal passes in a couple of years. And they would love to go on that ride when we get to it. So I really do hope they don't close it.
It's a, it's, I think they'd love it. I think that your daughter might be a little afraid of it.
Well, but she's a just man up.
She has a,
dude, she might
she's
like
a couple
it.
Of years to watch the ride alongs. And, but it is such a fun ride. It makes me feel like a kid again, which making me feel like a kid again isn't the greatest thing when we are talking about this ride, because stick around for a memory segment, because I'll go into detail about why.
Yeah, I think just walking through the line queue and seeing that heart dash from tree to tree is pretty frightening.
Yes. yes.
Quick fire, quick facts.
Let's go. Spielberg negotiated a lucrative royalty deal. For every theme park ticket sold, he received 2% of the revenue. Furthermore, a portion of the park's concession revenue was also part of his perpetual arrangement.
Dude, that is quite a deal.
To this day?
Yeah, it
that's
is.
Insane. I'm curious if that's still today.
I wonder if there was
that had to be ended period. At some point.
Wow.
Posters of the film's 30th anniversary re-release in English and various other languages are on display near the end of the exterior queue where the pre-show takes place.
Somewhat more hidden with the queue is an animatronic rabbit referencing the one that appears in the film's opening.
As guests leave the ride, they can sometimes hear E.T.'s voice reminding them, "I'll be right here."
Is that a good impression of E.T.? I really don't know E.T. very well.
I like it. And you guys can hear that that catchphrase at the end of the attraction. When you're walking out towards the exit, you can hear that little "I'll be right here" towards the end of the exit.
Thank you for
the
quick fire, quick fact, just over again, but phrasing it differently.
The final E.T. animatronic is famous for incorrectly pronouncing guests' names.
That's true. Universal originally wanted to work with Spielberg to create an attraction based on his Best Picture winning film, Schindler's List, but Spielberg stated that he didn't feel comfortable creating an attraction based on that film. Well, that's I would not ride that ride.
Is that real? That
I don't
can't
know.
Be real.
I gotta see if RJ wrote this part of the history.
April Fool's.
Okay, I was gonna say.
Oh my gosh! Thanks a lot, RJ.
I was like, oh my gosh. Oh, I was like, no way. RJ must have been missing this. April Fool's, okay.
Thanks a lot, man.
Oh my gosh. That was good, because I definitely was like, whoa.
I'm like going like, how is
on you guys?
How is this gonna happen? Ooh, that was good.
E.T.
Hi guys, it's Steven Spielberg, the creator of E.T., and I'm here to bring you some hidden E.T.s from the E.T. Adventure. You gotta look closely to see them, though. First off, as you're going into the attraction, look at the sign above you. E.T. is on the sign. Next, as you board your bike, E.T. is in the basket. Now, as you're approaching the alien planet, E.T. is in front of a machine. Then, as you get to the planet, there is an E.T. on your right. There is also an E.T. on your left. As you continue to go through the attraction, there is two more E.T.s on your left, and then another E.T. inside of a plant. Continue looking to your left. There is an E.T. going up and down. There's also an E.T. hidden in the plants on your left. There's also an E.T. from the ceiling on your left. There's also an E.T. playing drums on your left. Finally, there is another E.T. at the end of the ride, saying your names. And those are the
those
hidden
E.T.s.
ETs?
Because isn't E.T. one person? One alien?
He just runs
from
scene to scene.
Extraterrestrials. And I'm Steven Spielberg, so
yeah,
I know
what
I'm talking about.
That's true. I'm sorry. Hey, I hope E.T. doesn't get closed down.
Thank you. I cried when Back to the Future got shut down. And I've been holding Universal hostage for years on this. So
I know heard it here first, down. Folks.
Mr. Spielberg, before you go, can you please bring back the smell for the queue line in the E.T. attraction?
Remy, The smell was you all along.
Oh, well.
It goes with you wherever you go. You are the smell. All right. Thank you, Steven Spielberg.
Everyone asking, where'd the smell go? Remy just comes up and whispers in their ear, I'll be right here.
All right. Do we have any memories today?
Actually, Alex, we do. Remy, what's your memory?
So my favorite memory is when I was working for E.T., the E.T. attraction back at Universal. So there was one shift where during the closing, like the park closing, all of our team members were able to do what is called a track walk, where you have to go walk around the track and you get to pick up all the loose items and stuff, and people dropped all right, so like hats, wallets, glasses, keys, whatever. And it was fun. But walking towards the, you know, towards the end of the attraction, right? And that's where the exit platform is for the bikes. Yeah. I heard E.T. say my name, the animatronic said my name when I was walking. I'm like, okay, who did that? So it was one of my coworkers. He put my name in the last computer system. I'm like, you a-hole, really?
What was the coolest thing you found on the track walk in E.T.?
Well, I did find a wallet. I did find a keys to a Ferrari.
Oh,
somebody
was
rented a Ferrari as a rental.
Did you go in the parking lot and just like, unlock?
No, we dropped off at Lost and Found, and found a pair of Ray-Bans, and people lost so many things on that attraction. But the thing is that it's a slow moving ride. Why would you bring like loose stuff with you? I mean, it's not going to fall out on the attraction.
Cargo pants and cargo shorts.
Exactly. Yeah. So, but mother one is when I took my friend of mine on that attraction for the first time, and they were just crying because they were such big fans of E.T.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying they're crying because they're just so afraid because they can't ride bikes.
Well, that was actually one of the reasons too. But so my friend was crying and was like a big fan of it. I'm like, hey, I'll tell you what, I can get us on the front row. Would I do that? She goes, yeah. So I put her right in the middle of the basket.
You put her in the basket?
Yeah, so where E.T.'s head pops up.
Oh, cool. That's awesome. So she had an obstructed view the whole time. Very nice.
Yeah. She had the front row, you know, POV view of the attraction. So that was one of my memories.
That's pretty cool, Remy.
That's very nice.
I have a very different memory myself. I was very young. I think Alex heard this story before.
I don't think so.
Really? I was very young. And me and my mom went to ride. My sister, I think, was too young. So my dad stayed with my sister. So me and my mom went on, and during the pre-show, and they have the screen on. Like I'll tell you what, I love E.T. and I loved E.T. my whole life, the movie, but it did scare me. Some scenes did scare me. I think I did talk about on this podcast how E.T. dying in a river always scared me. One of the other scary scenes to me was when he's running through the cornfield, right? So in the pre-show, they're showing how they filmed that scene, and they have E.T. on this like track running through the cornfield. I was so scared during that pre-show that I peed myself, and I was soaking wet, and it was the most uncomfortable ride I have ever been on. It was so bad. There was pee everywhere, and I just feel bad for the people who had to ride that ride vehicle after me. So just a friendly reminder, bring hand sanitizer to the parks. You do not know where the people that have ridden the ride before you have been.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And you're hanging over, so it's probably dripping on the ride itself.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Aww. Yeah. I am part of E.T. the adventure.
That was part of the smell. Unfortunately, I do not have a memory for this ride because I've never been on it. So
the best memories are the ones we haven't made yet.
Oh, very nice.
I just made that up. That was pretty beautiful, actually.
I doubt you made it up.
I think.
I bet if you Google it, it's there.
Well, I made it up in I mean, like, you know, I never heard of it. Who's to say I didn't?
We heard Diz-His know that E.T. Adventure is to date the oldest attraction that still exists at Universal Studios Orlando. But its uniquely classic and memorable experience has made it a fan favorite mainstay for over 30 years. Sandpiper Vacations is an amazing booking agency. They can book your dream Disney vacation in Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruises, and Disney Resorts. They also do non-Disney trips like trips to Universal, Sandals, all-inclusive resorts, Royal Caribbean, Virgin Voyages, Carnival, and even more. The most amazing part is, it doesn't cost you anything extra. Just head over to sandpipervacations.com and click and get a quote.
That's right. At Sandpiper Vacations, we are here not just to book your vacation, but to give you some expert tips and advice to make your trip extra special, to create those magical memories for you, your family, your friends, or whoever you want to take on that vacation.
Don't take Nick's word for it. A testimonial from a customer at Sandpiper Vacations said, "Sandpiper Vacations was amazing in booking our family Disney vacation. Our agent was with us from the beginning, looking for the best accommodations, making reservations for dining, teaching us about how everything worked, telling us how to maximize our time, and just providing us all his travel knowledge. We had a family trip of a lifetime that we'll never forget." Take a look at Sandpiper Vacations on Instagram and TikTok, and visit our Facebook page, Sandpiper Vacations. That's Sandpiper Vacations, a concierge-style travel agency with endless capabilities. Do you find yourself missing Disney? Do you hum Disney songs even though no Disney music is playing? Do you wish you had more Disney friends you could talk to? Then you may be suffering from low D, also known as lack of Disney. Over 5 billion people are self-diagnosed every year with low D, but now there's help with the Diz His Patreon, better known as the Goof Troop. As seen in Better Homes and Gardens, you can find Diz His Patreon through the Linktree located in the episode description. Some people who have joined the Diz His Patreon have seen increased levels of Disney knowledge, increased their numbers of Disney friends, felt more laughter, played more Disney game nights, even found true love. Results may vary. This is Patreon, not intended to treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results may vary based on Patreon's tier level. If you're allergic to Diz His or any of its components, stop using immediately and contact Universal Studios. Diz His, a Disney history podcast.
Howdy, RJ here. If you enjoy the deep dives into Disney history that you hear here on Diz His, the Disney history podcast, then you can go ahead and check out my show, Cases of Continuity, streaming on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. I take an entire season to deep dive into some of the most iconic film, television, and book series of all time. Episode by episode, piece by piece, to look at the history behind each of those individual installments and the stories inside those and how those stories connect to the rest of the franchises. My first season on the James Bond films is currently streaming, and season 2 is going to be starting up in 2024. I hope to see you there at Cases of Continuity.
Check us out streaming on award-winning Disney streaming site Sorcerer Radio on Fridays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, or catch us again at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Sorcerer Radio is an amazing 24/7 Disney radio. Just visit srsounds.com or download the Sorcerer Radio app.
So, Alex, what did you do this week in Universal?
So, you know, I was looking up Universal movies that came out recently, and I didn't realize this was a Universal movie because it came out on Netflix, but it is distributed by Universal Pictures, and it is called Teenage Kraken. I saw this with my family. We watched this because my daughter, who's in first grade, was like, we saw the trailer, and she's like, I have to watch that. And we're like, yeah, let's watch it. And it's not a bad movie. It's pretty good. Pretty good. Netflix original, you know, straight to Netflix. And it was good. I think it was a good movie. I definitely would give it a watch. It was produced by DreamWorks, so the graphics are really good. Remy, what'd you in this week in Universal?
So this week in Universal, I actually on Remy's roundtable, we actually had a lecture and quiz from our tour guide, and our tour guide did on Ripsaw Falls, Dudley Do Right's Ripsaw Falls.
I love that attraction. Okay. Who's your tour guide, by the way?
Well, he's anonymous. All right, he's anonymous.
He's an Amish?
No, he's not Amish. No, he's anonymous. All right. So can't really say his name. But he did a really good job on it, and we failed miserably.
Yeah, you did. I did listen to it. It was pretty bad.
But also with Universal, I went back and I actually rewatched one of my favorite Universal movies. I watched Back to the Future.
Oh, nice, nice, nice. That's great.
So is Back to the Future your favorite Back to the Future movie?
Absolutely, man. I mean, nonstop. If it's on TV, I'm going to sit down and watch it. And I'll watch all of them, Back to the Future 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah, I would definitely watch all three. But I think my favorite is 2, actually.
2, okay.
I do like the 2 quite a bit.
So, Chris, if you want to know who our tour guide is, it's Ryan. It's RJ. RJ is our tour guide. So he
Really, I know who it is.
I know.
Chris, what'd you do this weekend at Universal?
I went to the movies and I saw Argylle.
Oh, really?
Yes.
How was it?
Not very good.
Whoa.
The first half of the movie, and I'll tell you what, it was enjoyable at the end. First half of the movie, I wanted to leave. Like, I've never felt this bad. I was so bored and so disinterested in the movie. First of all, the commercials show John Cena and Henry Cavill. And they're barely in the movie.
Really?
Barely. Maybe 5 minutes of screen time in the whole movie. You think they're the main character, but they're not.
But Sam Rockwell is, right?
Yes, he is. Yes, and he was great.
I love Sam Rockwell.
Yes, he was great in it. But the first half of the movie was not good. Second half, if the second half was as good as the – if the first half was as good as the second half, it'd be a solid, fun movie. But just not a fan. Now – when it was all said and done, it was a fun movie. I would watch it if I were you when it comes out on streaming services. Do not go to the theaters to watch it. Fun movie, though. Fun rainy day movie, like one of those types. Hmm, what I was really excited for was the trailer that I saw, Twisters.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
Now there's 2.
Yes. I love Twister, the movie. So I love Twister at Universal, too.
I know.
Is that still there?
No. Jimmy Fallon's there now, right? Oh, my gosh. Remy? Is that Jimmy Fallon now?
So Jimmy Fallon took over Twister.
Yeah, that's so dumb. Twister was amazing.
Imagine if they did a collaboration between the two.
That would be insane.
Yeah, so Twisters is coming out, and they're putting a little futuristic spin on it, where I think they try to stop the Twister with drones or something, which I saw that for the first time in the new trailer. Wasn't too excited about it, but we'll see what happens. I mean, you can't it's still going to be a fun movie to watch regardless. Now, when you said to Remy, is Back to the Future your favorite Back to the Future movie? Did you mean favorite Universal movie?
No.
Okay, because I wanted to kind of go around excluding E.T. and hear what everybody's favorite Universal movie was. Remy, what's yours?
So my favorite Universal movie is...
You can give me a top 2 or 3. It's fine. But don't think too hard about it.
Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice, great answer. That's another thing I did this week in Universal is watch the Beetlejuice 2 trailer, which I'm sure you did too, right?
Beetlejuice, cannot wait.
I loved it.
Cannot wait.
And my other favorite Universal movie is none other than The Blues Brothers.
Oh, very, very okay. Good. Very good.
All right.
I'll let Alex continue to look up his. I'm going to tell you my favorite Universal movies are 1, 2, and 3 in no order. Jurassic Park, Jaws, and number 3 is Shrek is not Universal, is it?
Shrek is
it's Dreamworks. Like, right, it's just kind of like it. So I would have to say, oh man, it's hard. There's so many really good ones. Jurassic Park might be my favorite one. Jaws, and we're not going to include E.T. because the episode was on E.T. So I think my next one would have to be 50 Shades of Grey. No, I'm just kidding. The number 3 spot's pretty hard. There's so many fun movies. There's not a lot of great Universal movies, but there is a lot of fun Universal movies, if that makes sense.
What about Fievel or Fievel goes
never
out.
never watched them. I think
Land Before Time
it would be my number 4. I think my number 3 would be The Grinch, the live action Grinch.
Oh, yeah, okay, that works. Yeah,
Universal has a lot of good comedy movies.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Live action Grinch is a great one. My top Universal movies, I gotta go with Jurassic Park.
Yep, great.
For my wife, I had to pick Jaws. That's her hands down favorite movie.
Didn't know
ever.
That. Great movie.
And
it's a near perfect movie.
And I really love Sing.
Oh, Sing is a good movie. That's a good answer. Too. Yeah, Sing's a really fun one. Nobody said Fast and Furious.
Shocker.
The reason we didn't say that. Next week on Diz His. We will be actually going over the history for Minnie Mouse for our special episode 250. And we'll also be live on YouTube for recording of that one with a multitude of guests. But hey, how funny would it be if we just continue doing Universal episodes every episode here on out, and we just never got around to 250? That'd be so dumb, but that'd be ridiculous.
Please don't forget to follow us on social media at DizHisPod on everywhere but X/Twitter, where we are banned indefinitely. If you're interested in more of our content, especially the Cutter Room Floor stuff, join our Patreon. For as little as $2 a month, you get access to all that, as well as watching our shows live. At $5 a month, you are entitled to our giveaways. So feeling generous, go for five. Strive for five.
And that's the history on E.T. Adventure. I'm Alex.
I'm Chris.
I'm Remy.
Thanks for listening, and don't forget to phone home.